I know you told so many times, so many words in different rhymes, but I don't feel the same. I wasn't innocent, I know, and things I did for sure were wrong. The time has passed so long.
This is Rabbit Heart, a Teen Wolf fanfic written by Discontented Winter and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated NC-17 and contains the pairing Peter Hale-Stiles Stilinski, with additional tags for first time, dubious consent, painful sex, dark, murder. And was written for Frankie31 for the Steeter Secret Santa 2021. Author's notes. I've chosen not to use the archive warnings, since none of them seem to exactly fit. But make sure you check the tags. This is quite dark.
I'm getting wild when I'm alone. I learn by heart, you're not my own. But I never asked you to be.
Stiles can't explain it. You ever see a rabbit, he wants to tell someone, on a wildlife documentary? The way their limbs freeze and they huddle, tremors running through them like electricity when the predator stares them down? The blood rushing through them, hot and fast and veins ready to burst, their hearts pounding, their eyes wide, teetering, trembling right on the edge of death. You ever notice how it feels just like that second just before you come? Except there's no one he can tell. Jesus. Of course there's fucking not. Stiles has just spent longer than he wanted in Eichen House. He sure as fuck doesn't want to go back because something in his brain has short-circuited, melted, and fused the fuck and death wires together or something. When the Nogitsune was in him, there's another fuck death crossed wires moment that brings him out in goosebumps. He could feel its darkness. Now that it's gone, he thinks he can feel the shadow it left behind. But maybe he can't. Maybe that's a lie. Maybe all the crazy, twisted shit that he's feeling now has nothing to do with the Nogitsune at all. Maybe it's 100% pure Stiles Stilinski. And that's a hell of a lot more terrifying than possession. He stares into the dark eyes of his reflection in the bathroom mirror and wonders about the thing staring back at him.
Stiles!
Dad yells from downstairs.
Hurry up, kid. You'll be late.
Stiles jolts. Right. Late. Late for breakfast. Late for school. Late for friends. Late for his return to his regularly scheduled life, as though he hasn't just left a trail of dead bodies behind him. While the Nogitsune was riding shotgun in his brain. As though he hadn't felt the same thrill it did. But he goes downstairs, goes through the motions, goes to school like nothing's changed. He feels like he's watching his own life from a distance, from behind a thick glass wall where everything's muted, and he has to wonder if everything feels like it's one automatic, like he's not really the one in charge, then who is? And maybe that's a question he doesn't really want to answer. There's a pack meeting that night, for what passes as a loose definition of both words. Because there's no real pack, is there? Just a loose collection of people who, it turns out, probably wouldn't even have the time of day for each other if they weren't all caught up in the same bullshit. And yes, Styles includes Scott in that, too. They've grown apart since all this werewolf stuff started. Maybe they were never as close as Styles imagined. Maybe Styles was only good enough to be Scott's friend back before Scott got popular with lacrosse. Because the distance between them was there long before the Nogitsune exploited it. Styles grabs a piece of pizza and sits on Derek's couch and pretends he can't still see how many people have died in this loft. It's not really a meeting, either. Scott and Derek don't trust each other. Lydia and Kira don't trust that the wolves can keep anyone alive. Chris Argent's trigger finger twitches so much that the girls are probably right about that. And nobody at all trusts Peter. Styles wishes he could find that funny, but he's pretty sure he's ranked even lower right now, and deservedly so. Everyone looks at Styles like there's a ticking time bomb in his skull. Peter's the only one that does it with a smirk. Styles eats his pizza, and otherwise keeps his mouth shut. He has the memories of the Nogitsune. He felt the things it did. And he knows what it felt like to be tied to a chair, a gag in his mouth, while Peter Hale smirked down at him, smelling of aftershave, his gaze as sharp as the blade of a knife. Styles' heart didn't beat rabbit fast then, but the memory is enough to flood him with adrenaline now. His breath hitches, and his skin prickles, and his brain stumbles into that kill-me-fuck-me fault line that's growing wider every day. I gotta go, he says, and wipes his greasy hands on his jeans. He doesn't look at where Peter's lurking on the stairs. I'll see you at school tomorrow. And he books it out of there before every wolf in the room wonders why he stinks of arousal. There was a time in Styles' life when he was scared of the dark. Not so much anymore. It's hard to be afraid of the dark when you've been one of the scariest things in it. So he drives out to the preserve instead of going home, and parks at one of the trailheads, and sits on the hood of his Jeep and stares into the trees. He sits there until the engine is cold. He's not even surprised when Peter melts out of the darkness. Some things just feel like fate. Zombie wolf, he murmurs. If I'm a zombie wolf, then what are you? Peter asks, the corners of his mouth turning up in that familiar smirk of his. The one that could be a snarl in the space of a single heartbeat. Styles thinks about that for a moment. The shadow that something left behind? Peter hums and steps closer. I think you're a little more substantial than a shadow, sweetheart. Styles slides off the hood, the soles of his sneakers landing with a crunch in the dirt. Peter curls his fingers around Styles' wrist. And there it is. The rapid thump, thump, thump of his rabbit heart that takes him back to way before the Nogitsune. It takes him right back to a lacrosse field at night, to sinking into a sea of mist as a predator in a swirling black cloak stared him down. Then smiled and showed his fangs. And Styles' breath had caught in his throat, his blathering words stuttering to a stop, his dick twitching in his grass-stained suit pants. Styles has been fucked up for a long time, and there's not a demon in the world he can blame for it. Peter's fingers dig into his wrist, into the veins and tendons there, threatening claws. And Stiles shivers with anticipation. "There it is," Peter says softly, an echo of Stiles' thoughts, a shadow too. Stiles should push him away, should tell him to fuck off. But what would be the point? He's an open book, all his sick thoughts, his sick thrills, laid bare to Peter's gaze. So he says nothing. Just stares back at Peter and wonders if Peter wants to fuck him or kill him. Or if those two things are just as twisted up together in Peter's brain as his own. Peter lifts Stiles' wrist to his mouth and holds Stiles' gaze as he breathes heat over the thin, pale skin laid over the blue-green veins there. Stiles shivers again. Goosebumps prickle into existence. Peter's mouth curls into a smile that's half cruelty, half promise. "Cold, sweetheart?" Stiles' heart flops at the word, even though he knows it's bullshit. Peter is 90% bullshit. He's just always trying to get a rise, score a hit, jab a finger in someone else's bruise. That's what Peter is. Just 20 different layers of asshole wrapped around an empty space. Stiles should know, because like recognizes like. He shrugs. Peter rolls his eyes and drops Stiles' wrist. Stiles' hand bangs against the hood of the Jeep, knuckles stinging. "Jesus, Stiles, you never used to be so fucking boring." Stiles rubs his knuckles. "Turns out it's hard to be the life of the party once you've killed a bunch of people." "No," Peter says, a smirk. "It isn't." Stiles feels a strange thrill at that. "That's not what I meant, though," Peter says. He leans on the hood beside Stiles, and they both stare into the black trees. "I mean that you used to have a spark in you. Don't tell me the Nogatsune stole that, too." Stiles doesn't think he's talking about the same sort of spark that Deaton usually goes on about. He has a feeling that Peter's talking about something more personal. Something inherently Stiles. The smartass part of him. The part that was in charge of his biting sarcasm and the sort of assholery that can only come from being on the bottom of the food chain. And not just when it comes to werewolves. Stiles' assholery was honed by years of being the weird kid at school, thanks. And it was well-developed way before he even knew about werewolves and nogatsunes and all this supernatural bullshit. Peter misses that guy? Fuck. Stiles misses him, too. "Yeah," he says. He wrinkles his nose. "Pretty sure he's not coming back." "Well," Peter says mildly, "that's a shame." Stiles shrugs. "Did you come here to feel sorry for me or to fuck me, Peter?" He tilts his head. The curious gesture, an echo of the Nogatsune's bird-bright curiosity. "Or to kill me." Would you like that, Stiles?" "Yes." He doesn't say which one. He doesn't know. He just stares at Peter, his rabbit heart beating fast, and waits to find out which one Peter will choose. It's almost a relief not to have to decide for himself. Peter's eyes flash blue in the darkness, and then there's that predator smile again. That fuck-kill frisson with a hint of fang. And when Peter lifts him up onto the hood of the Jeep, fingers going straight for the button on his fly, For the first time in a very long time, things make sense. Peter has an apartment on Pine Street. All fancy and modern and shit. The lamps cast a warm glow across the place as Peter shows him in. Neither of them says anything. Styles, his heart thumping rabbit fast, follows Peter down the hall. The bedroom isn't what Styles had expected. He thought it would feel bigger somehow. Not bigger like the TARDIS or anything, but that the moment stepping over the threshold would feel bigger. But the bedroom is just the same as any other bedroom he's ever seen. It's catalog clean, but nothing universe-shattering. A bureau, a wardrobe, a TV on the wall, and the bed. It's a queen bed with a plain blue coverlet. Undress for me, Peter says, eyes narrow. Styles, his heart in his throat, obeys. He kicks off his shoes and tugs his shirt off over his head. Then his jeans come off, and then his underwear. It tangles around his ankles and Styles bends to pull it free. He wonders if he should feel more awkward and ungainly, his pale ass in the air like this. But he doesn't. He's nothing. He's the rabbit to Peter's wolf. He's been surrounded by darkness before, and this time he's choosing to let it in. Fuck or kill. It's Peter's choice. It's always been Peter's choice. He stands upright, and Peter smirks as he fights the instinct to cover his hardening cock. Good boy, sweetheart, he murmurs. Peter begins to undress. He's far more elegant than Styles as he peels away his clothes to reveal the lean, muscled predator underneath. He's beautiful and deadly, and it's written in every fluid motion, in every cell of his body. Come here. Styles steps forward, closing his eyes as he moves into the embrace of the wolf. He nuzzles at Peter's throat, and a low growl reverberates in Peter's chest. The cocks push against one another, hard and already leaking precum. Styles slips his arms under Peter's, splaying his fingers to feel the muscles in his back move. He breathes in deeply, smelling musk, and then darts his tongue out to lick Peter's throat. So eager, Peter murmurs. And Styles feels the words vibrate under his lips. He shivers as a claw traces down his spine, threatening to split skin. Styles feels almost feverish. He's so hot, so ready, and he wants this, whatever it is. Whether it's fuck or kill, he wants it. He needs it. He feels the fingers of Peter's free hand curling in his hair, guiding his head downwards. His mouth moves over the ridge of Peter's collarbone, his tongue exploring the angles, and then down to his chest. Peter's pectoral muscles are hard under his skin, so unyielding, and Styles laps at the planes of his flesh keenly. His cock throbs as he realizes what he's doing. His mouth rubs against Peter's left nipple. He closes his lips around it. He sucks, flicking the hard nub of flesh underneath his tongue. Peter growls again, the sound reverberating in his chest against Styles' lips. Peter tugs his head back, and Styles gasps at the sudden sting. You'd do anything, wouldn't you, Styles? Yes. I'm going to fuck you now. And you're going to take it. Styles swallows and nods. His rabbit heart thump, thump, thumps. Lie on the bed. Styles closes his eyes again as he lies back on the mattress. Opens them again when Peter stands over him and runs his clawed hand from Styles' chest down to his abdomen. His claws skirt Styles' aching cock, and his eyes dance when Styles groans in disappointment. Peter pulls his pillow out from under the comforter. Put this under you. Styles shifts, and Peter shoves the pillow under his hips. Styles feels even more exposed than before, with his hips tilted up. He wishes Peter would turn the lights off, or at least stop looking at him so avidly. But this is the price. He's given himself up to Peter, to fuck or to kill, and so he forces himself to relax. Forces himself to feel the heat in Peter's eyes. He can't stop his hands from clenching into fists at his sides, though. Knees up, Peter says, lazily jerking his cock as he stares down at Styles. Legs apart. If Styles is powerless to refuse, it's because he's already given Peter that power over him. Peter opens the nightstand drawer and takes out a small tube. He climbs onto the bed, kneeling between Styles' thighs. He leans down and grips Styles' jaw. Hard. Claws make stinging dimples in Styles' cheek. Styles lifts his head. And suddenly, it's a kiss. Peter's mouth bruising against his. Peter's tongue touching his. "You're going to take it," Peter says again. Yes. Jesus, he's lying naked on the man's bed with his knees up and his thighs spread. What's that if it isn't an invitation to be fucked? But maybe it's not an invitation Peter wants. Maybe it's more. Please. Peter thrusts his tongue roughly into Styles' mouth and explores it for a minute before he draws away. He flips open the tube and squeezes the contents out onto his fingers until they're wet and glistening. He presses them up against Styles' puckered hole. Jabs them inside him. Despite the lubricant, the sudden sharp pain makes Styles cry out. Peter watches his face intently, that smirk playing around his mouth. He offers no advice, no comfort. That's not what this is, and they both know it. Styles draws a deep breath and feels, strangely, the pain recede. He can still feel Peter's fingers, but the pain's gone, replaced with a dull ache. He can feel himself stretched around Peter's fingers. Can feel the echo of his rapid, frantic heartbeat in those tender, aching muscles. Peter strokes Styles' cock with his free hand, and Styles begins to respond. He lifts his hips off the pillow, and his whole body begins to answer. Peter twists his fingers, brushing them against that cluster of nerve endings deep inside him, and Styles arches up in pleasure this time. He cries out in surprise. Good boy. Peter withdraws his fingers slowly, and Styles tenses. Peter shifts his position, and Styles feels a flutter of panic deep in his guts as the burning tip of Peter's cock presses up against his entrance. Oh, God, he whimpers. You're a killer, Styles. Peter says with a growl. You can take it. Peter takes his cock in his hand and forces the bulbous head past Styles' defending muscles. It hurts. It hurts like nothing else. Styles is astonished at the intensity of it. He desperately wants to throw Peter off him, even though he knows he can't, and fights not to thrash. The pain is sharp, and it spreads through him. His whole back aches, as though his spine has been crushed. He didn't expect it to be this bad. Some guys like this, right? And he whimpers and shifts restlessly under Peter's weight. "It hurts," he gasps. "Peter, please. It hurts." "I know," Peter says, his smirk growing. "And you'll take it for me, won't you, sweetheart?" Styles fights not to struggle. He fixes his eyes on Peter's and remembers what this is. This is inevitable. The pain slowly diffuses and melts around his racing heartbeat. His muscles flutter and pulse around the head of Peter's cock. He slowly loosens, slowly relaxes, accepts this, and realizes with astonishment that he can feel Peter's heartbeat as well. Peter's cock throbs deep inside him, in counterpoint to his own heartbeat. "Hurts," Styles moans, but the word is meaningless now, just a reflexive response to the overwhelming sensations threatening to overcome him. Peter pushes his cock slowly into him, inch by inch. "Oh, God!" Styles twists his head from side to side on the mattress. "Oh, God!" He can't tell himself anymore if he cried out from pleasure or pain. He feels the head of Peter's cock push against his gland and arches upwards. "Fuck!" And then, the strangest sensation of all. Peter's tight balls pushed up against his ass. Styles struggles for breath. "I'm in you," Peter tells him, leaning down to stroke Styles' cheek. "Can you feel me?" "Every inch," Styles moans, lifting his chin to meet Peter's burning kiss. "How does it feel, sweetheart?" Peter asks him. He kisses down the side of Styles' jaw, then his throat, and over his thumping chest. "Tell me how much it hurts. Tell me how much you love it." "Hurts," Styles whispers. "I don't know. Oh, God." Peter's tongue glances across his nipple, and Styles' breath catches in his throat. Peter fastens his lips around Styles' nipple and then, gently, bites. Styles arches up. His cock throbs, and he feels Peter's do the same inside him. His hands find Peter's hips and grip them. His thighs are aching now, a slow burn that adds to the rest of the unfamiliar sensations. Fullness, pain, openness, and the first stirrings of real pleasure. He groans as Peter's tongue laves his stinging nipple, the gentle touch followed by the sharp sting of a claw opening his skin. "Fuck me, Peter," he murmurs. "Hurry, please." Peter kisses him again, and then draws back. He hooks Styles' knees under his arms, and Styles cries out as Peter's cock shifts within him. Peter pulls back slightly and pushes forward again. His cock presses against Styles' gland, and this time there's no pain. Styles trembles as every nerve in his body sings. His balls tighten, and his cock throbs against his belly. "Fuck me," he says again, gasping. Peter begins to thrust more quickly, and Styles lifts his hips off the pillow to meet each one. His whole body is shaking around Peter's burning cock. His hands slide into the comforter, open and close uselessly. He wants this. He needs this, even the pain. He needs all of Peter. He needs to be utterly possessed once more. He needs the darkness to consume him. He meets Peter's thrusts eagerly, gasping with each one. Peter's neck cords, and his whole body stiffens suddenly. Jesus, Styles, come! Styles' balls contract. His whole body shudders as he comes. Hot pulses of semen land on his abdomen and chest. He cries out as Peter swipes his claws down his chest, tears squeezing out from underneath his eyelids. His muscles clench tightly around Peter's cock, and he can no longer differentiate between pleasure and pain. He feels Peter's cock jerk inside him as Peter trembles and comes. Peter falls forward onto him, growling. Styles lowers his legs, the muscles in his thighs aching. His ass burns as Peter withdraws, but it feels good. Styles lies underneath Peter, struggling for breath, stinking of blood and cum, and counts the knots in Peter's spine with his trembling fingers. Good boy, Peter growls, low against his ear. Styles turns his head to taste Peter's sweat. He struggles to breathe. Oh, Jesus. Oh, fuck. Peter rolls off him. His hands find Styles. He draws it onto his chest and twines his fingers through Styles. Look at you, all filthy and ruined and despoiled. For you, he says. Peter digs a claw into the fleshy part of Styles' palm, and blood wells. Don't you forget it. Styles won't. He wants Peter. He needs Peter. And he knows the darkness in Peter. There is nothing he wouldn't do now if Peter asked. Styles sleeps like a baby that night. Bruised and aching, claw marks on his skin, a smile on his mouth. He doesn't know what it means when you give yourself up to the predator, and the predator doesn't tear your throat out. Or maybe he knows exactly what it means, and he just doesn't care anymore. He sleeps like a baby. Night draws Styles out to the preserve. He's not sure what he's looking for, except that it's Peter who usually finds him there. It's apt, he supposes, since they both have darkness in them. Peter snorts when he tells him that one night. What? Have you been listening to Deaton's bullshit again? Peter asks. Or just Scott's? Styles takes a swig from his Mountain Dew to save himself from answering. We have darkness in us, Peter says, and rolls his eyes and makes woo-woo noises. It's so ludicrous that Styles laughs, and Mountain Dew comes out his nose. Peter snorts and presents him with a handkerchief. Who the fuck carries a handkerchief? Styles asks when he's wiped his face. Oh, creatures of darkness, obviously. Obviously. Deaton is full of shit, Peter says. I killed people when I was mad. You killed people when you were possessed. And so what? You can't change the past, and you shouldn't have to wear a hair shirt because of something that was out of your control. People died. Allison, people die every day, Peter says, his tone arch. And who knows that better than the both of them? The universe is vastly unfair. It's kill or be killed. But that's not your fault. It's not mine either. It's natural law. A pep talk from a killer? Better than one from a pompous, moralistic dick, Peter says. And Stiles doesn't know if it's Deaton he's talking about, or Scott, or both of them. Peter narrows his eyes. Is the darkness the Nogatsune left behind stronger than you? What? Peter puts a hand on his shoulder, rubs his thumb against the pulse in his neck. You came out the other side, Stiles. The darkness doesn't own you. You own the darkness. Stiles stares at him. He swallows, feeling the pressure of his thumb against his trachea. What if I liked it, though? And there's the rub. There's the heart of it. He liked it. He liked the thrill he felt when the Nogatsune killed. He liked the adrenaline rush, the heat in his blood, the goosebumps, the excitement racing through him like electricity lighting him up. It felt good to kill, to maim, to terrify. It felt good to be invincible, to be the eye in the center of a wild storm, to laugh as he brought down chaos and destruction. Peter smirks. What if you did? That's not the right answer. Stiles knows it isn't. Except maybe it's the one he needs to hear. It settles something inside him. Or maybe it snuffs something out for good. He's not sure which. He's not sure he cares either. Did you like it? Peter hums. I liked being a predator more than I liked being prey. Stiles' eyes flutter closed as Peter leans in to kiss him. Yeah, he says against his mouth. A piece of something hard inside him breaks away and dissolves into dust. His heart beats fast and warm. Me too. And there it is. The thing with Peter becomes, like so many things in his life, something that Stiles can't untangle. Unlike most of the other things that keep him up at night, staring at his ceiling until he can see shapes moving there like shadow theater, it's not something that he necessarily wants to untangle. Because it feels good. The sharpness, the sting, the knowledge of being alive that hits him in a rush and only comes with a little of the right kind of hurt. And the right kind of hurt, it turns out, is carried on a razor's edge of claws and fangs. And Stiles needs it like breathing. It's not healthy, but what the fuck is healthy anyway? Peter's keeping his heart beating, keeping his chest rising, keeping his blood pumping. And that feels like more than he can do for himself right now. And it occurs to him one night, as he shudders to pieces under Peter's hands and mouth and dick, when he sees Peter's smile and the gleam in his blue eyes. Holy shit. He's doing the same for Peter, too. If Stiles needs to be hurt to feel alive, then Peter needs to hurt someone. There's a sort of balance in that. A synchronicity. Except, no, because it's not like that. Not exactly. Because when Stiles pushes back, when he rakes his nails down Peter's back and draws blood, Peter shivers and smiles and snaps his teeth against his throat. When Stiles bites him, teeth-breaking skin. Peter growls and grins and fucks him so hard that it leaves them both panting and wrung out, covered in smears of sweat and blood and cum. And it feels so fucking good. Styles has taken to eating his lunch alone. Most times, an apple from home and a bag of chips or whatever. And he eats them on a set of steps that leads to a locked side door of the school and overlooks the parking lot. He likes being alone, hunched over a little if the weather's cold and rainy, his hood pulled forward. At another school, he'd probably make some sort of watch list for suddenly being a weird loner. But this is Beacon Hills High, and there's a lot of weird going around. From the back of the building, the lacrosse field stretches out, and beyond it, the trees. Seems like a lifetime ago that he and Scott caught Derek lurking there, staring. And maybe it was. Some other lifetime, some other life, with some stranger playing the main role, since Styles can barely recognize that guy now. And that guy, sure as shit, wouldn't recognize him. And he thinks, for the first time, that maybe he's okay with that. Maybe it's time to let that Styles go, since there's no going back. Maybe it's time to get to know this new Styles, and moving forward to wherever the hell he's going. Life is a journey. People say that, right? It's the journey, not the destination. Meanwhile, Styles has been so afraid of where he might end up, of who he might be when he gets there, that he's forgotten how to move. He's still breathing. He's still living. And so what if he remembers how good it feels to make someone else bleed? So what if he has still got the Nogatsune's darkness threaded through him like 1,000 different strings, all pulling in different directions? So what if his body remembers the thrill of being a predator? It's better to be the wolf than the rabbit. He eats his apple and tosses the core over the edge of the steps. Styles has been the rabbit before. He didn't like it. There's an old man with a gray pallor to his face and a sneer curving up the corners of his mouth. Old Styles, rabbit Styles, was strung up in a basement by that sneer, that gravel rough rasp of a voice, those gnarled knuckled bruising fingers. But Styles is wrapped in shadows now, with more darkness in him than this old fucker can ever know. Sheriff's boy, Gerard Argent says, and shows his teeth in a smile that suggests he thinks he's got the upper hand somehow. That's cute. Styles shows him his knife. The pack doesn't do anything for Peter's birthday. After the meeting, Styles gets in his Jeep and takes the long way to Peter's place. Gives Peter time to get there before him. Then he grabs his dad's bowling bag from behind the driver's seat and climbs the stairs. Peter opens the door before he gets to it. Styles might know who he is now, might have just fucking proved it beyond any doubt. But his heart will always beat a little rabbit fast for Peter, he guesses. They both like it that way. Kill me, fuck me, kill me, fuck me, kill me, fuck me. On every beat. It makes him feel alive. Styles, Peter says. A drawl, a smirk, a promise. Happy birthday, Styles says with a grin, and drops the bag onto the floor at Peter's feet. He was a rabbit that first night with Peter, trembling flesh waiting to be torn apart by fangs. But Peter didn't kill him. Peter reminded him that they're both predators. Peter wanted the boy who could do something like this and laugh while he did it. And that's the way it's going to be from now on. Styles owns the darkness now, and if it owns a piece of him in return, then so the fuck what? Peter crouches down and inhales sharply as he unzips the bag, the metal teeth clicking slowly apart. Oh, sweetheart. He lifts Gerard Argent's head out of the bag with a blinding smile. And Styles' heart beats faster still, and his blood heats, and his body tightens in expectation of Peter's claws and teeth and tearing kisses. He doesn't know how all this will end. He doesn't care. Styles is a predator now, and he loves it. The end.